Hey, everybody.
Hey, Chuck.
Hello. Hey, Kira. I noticed something on the minutes that I want to mention. Chris Kent shouldn't be noted as a committee member. I mean, he is more than welcome to come to this committee and be a kind of non-member if he wants, but in his State Office of AIDS role, he is actually the only council member who does not have to have a committee assignment.
Oh, okay, perfect. Do you want me to take him off the roster then?
For this committee, yes, please.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
So how many do we need for quorum today?
Just checking that out. One moment.
And my apologies, that's I'm finally getting the lunch.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. People, Bill Bloom and Thomas Noble, I think, are both activated, so they get automatic excuses. So that would mean we need 5 people for quorum. Let's see if we have it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 even. Okay. Are you facilitating this meeting, Chuck? I'll make you co-host.
Yeah. So
you can raise hands. Okay.
All right. I think we got enough to get started. So first, we'll introduce everybody. I'll start with David. Go ahead.
Hey, everyone. David Gonzalez, co-chair for this council committee.
Jesse.
Murphy, council member, committee member.
Matt.
Matt Geltmaker, council member.
Catch you mid bites, yes. And Jackson. Oh, he's there someplace. I can see I've got too many. Let's see. Who's left? Nali?
No.
Nali. There we go.
Nali,
there we go.
Council member. Hi, everyone.
Okay. Now staff, Mark.
Mark Molnar, council staff.
Kira.
Kira, council staff.
And Dave.
Jordan, council staff.
Cool. Next, I like that, Mark.
Thank you.
Like you went off to India. Yes. Yeah. Tell me about it. So next is the, on the agenda would be announcements or no. What is next?
Agenda review. I'll share screen. Yeah. So I have one change I'd like to put forward. We are not going to have any presenters for number 7. In fact, we're not going to have this presentation this month, but I'd like to still have an agenda item there to review the work plan because there's some shifts.
Okay. That works for me. Anybody else have an issue with that? If not, then we'll accept that with the change by consensus. Let's see the minutes.
See here who was present, who was absent. pro forma, looked over the work plan, had a conversation there, and then that's all she wrote.
Okay, cool. Anybody have any changes? If not, we'll accept that by consensus. Now, are there any announcements? Nobody? All right, then can you throw the agenda up, Mark, please?
Next agenda item is to discuss return to in-person meetings for the overall council. The topic as far as committees has come up as well at steering, I think at this committee too. The idea that had been put forward was to look at, I guess, what worked and what didn't work during the pandemic that we're all still in. And an idea was put forward to keep committees, all subcommittees, except for steering, as virtual via Zoom, while having steering itself, because if there's motions, they do need to be voted for in person once the sunshine restrictions are put back in place, and of course to have full council be in person. So that's just an idea that was put out there by steering. That's up to you all to decide. Each committee can make a determination whether it wants to actually do virtual moving forward or would like to return to in person. And so let the dialogue commence, because it seems like we are moving towards a shift here this year.
Who wants to start first? I personally, I'm fine with doing virtual for the next 3 months anyway. Oh, there's a hand. Bill.
Hi, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
I just thought it might be helpful for you to know DHR has extended that people who can should work from home through mid-March. So if you guys want to be in sync with what DPH policy is, maybe you want to be thinking about after March. I think March 16th is the new deadline, the new kind of timeline they have for people to return to work in person.
Yeah, that's why I was saying 3 more months. And I was looking at, over at City Hall, the Rules Committee for the supervisors was saying the same thing. They were just following the guidance from the state with the Sunshine Law. And once that changes, and then with the local DPH and Health Department, then they're going to continue on until, like you just said, March. So, April, we can decide again.
And I can make sure to put this back on the agenda for March.
Yes. Okay, Ken.
You did.
I got it. I'm fine with waiting till March too, but I'm not fine with us deciding because it's easier for people that we're not going to have any more in-person meetings. So, and I'll vote with my voice just saying if that happens, I need to leave this role. I just think there's so much lost. I understand for you people working, it's really easy, much easier for you. But I think for many other folks, it doesn't provide the same level of involvement. So just going on record for that.
Well, what I was thinking was, in 3 months when we come back and review the issue, and if meetings are allowed, then I was going to suggest that we maybe do hybrid meetings for 3 months and then see where we're at that point. And hopefully at that point, we'd be able to come back to the full meetings. Mark.
Couple things, a question for Ken and also just a comment around hybrid meetings. Ken, is your perspective based on any committee or full council meeting being virtual or not?
Any.
Okay, so if there is a vote on
whether this committee. So I think we've had this before, and maybe this all has to go to steering ultimately, decide, because one has to think that whatever's decided for committees would be for all committees, and whatever's decided for the full council would be the full council and separated. But I think we've had lots of discussions on this in the past going forward. But if there is a move for us to only be Zoom or online from here on, I think that's a huge difference.
So I want to clarify the discussion at steering. The discussion at steering was not for steering itself or for full council to be virtual. Steering itself could not be virtual because there would need to be a place where committee motions came to an in-person meeting, you know, because of the Sunshine Ordinance, to be voted on in person. And the same goes for full council. So the idea at steering was simply for committees, individual subcommittees, not including steering or full council, excuse my cat, determine whether they each want to remain virtual or to come back in person. So I just want to make sure that's clear. The idea was not for everything to be virtual for moving forward. And then the other point I wanted to make was that hybrid meetings would be a challenge. Let's just say that. It would be a challenge in general to get people to communicate successfully together. I've been a part of hybrid meetings. It's very tough. And there will be challenges around Sunshine when that comes back into play. It looks like Jessie has her hand up.
Oh, yes. Go ahead, Jess.
Thanks. Oh, I was just wondering, I understand the ask or the proposal. What's the timeline proposed?
Like you said, it sounds like the suggestion would be just for us to hold off on making any determination until March, simply because we want to stick with the DPH guidelines.
So
this would turn on the March agenda.
Oh, okay. So it would be put to a... Sorry, I'm talking about for the full council and steering committee, like.
Yeah, I think the committees would each have to vote itself to determine, and that vote could then go to steering to be held. As far as steering and full council, I mean, there can be a vote there, but once the Sunshine Ordinance comes back into play, it almost cancels out even the idea of a vote. Unless there are shifts to that, like it's just we'd have to be compliant, and compliance means those in-person meetings for the leadership committee of the council and for the full council itself.
Do you have a timeline for when you expect that reversal?
I don't know. I depend on Bill and Kevin and Thomas to keep me updated. I check every now and then, but the language is often very ambiguous, I think, because it's always been such a moving target in some ways. So I don't feel confident saying what either the city or DPH within the city or the Sunshine Ordinance within the city or even any kind of state laws. Looks like Bill has his hand up.
Yeah. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think, Mark, you hit it right. I think they're evaluating it just based on what the newest sciences and also just the infectivity of the variant of COVID we're dealing with. So, I mean, to the extent people are comfortable, whatever interim you choose, we'll definitely keep you guys informed, you know, both what's happening at a DPH HR level and whatever we hear about in-person meetings. You know, there's another group that's similar to this group, which is being formed, focused on a homeless stuff. So we're definitely kind of tracking that for this new group. And as soon as we hear anything definite in one direction or the other, or even determined, we'll continue to share it.
So I think what we're actually saying is we're gonna hold off on voting today, and then in March come back and revisit it. And then Dave, you have something to say? Anything?
Me?
Yeah, you have an opinion?
My challenge with this is just that we keep pushing it back. And so, like, yeah, you know, the vote, whatever, let's do it when it happens. But I also think that we can use some of this time, because we have time today, to figure out, like, scenarios. So if the scenario is can't do hybrid, because it's a challenge, you know, I think technology-wise, the challenge to have a hybrid, you know, then does a vote mean that, you know, we're doing all online or all in person, you know, things like that. So I'm fine pushing the vote for whatever it is that we do down the line. But I think we should at least invest a little bit of time thinking about, like, well, what are the different scenarios we're looking at? And then I think the reason why I suggested this to Mark was also like, well, what are the rules around attendance? And what are the rules around voting? What are the rules around all this stuff? Because if it looks like we can't really vote, if we go online, if anyone attends online and they can't vote because they have to be in presence to vote for something, especially around money and funds, then does that mean that what we're doing as a group here is just a recommendation? Or something to the steering committee, you know. So I think I'm totally cool with the way we're shifting, we're going towards. I think I just want to put that into the mix as we're having this conversation, because we have a lot of time to do that today. And then, you know, we can set up one or two or three situations and then have a final vote for that when the opportunity comes up to actually have a vote to say, like, no, we're now allowed to not only meet in person, but the sunshine sort of like regulations have been defined about how we are supposed to meet.
Okay, anybody else? No, go ahead, Ken.
So are we not using the little symbol to raise our hands? Because I'll quit doing it if we aren't.
Oh no, I see your halo hand.
Okay. No, I'm just asking that. It's either way, it's okay. Fine with me. So it's not just this committee. It's, you know, it's everyone. You know, I'm part of other organizations like AIDS Health Project, which is relying on what UCSF decides to do. You know, there's a bunch of other things going on in all this. And I'm trying to get an understanding. And Mark, if I think I heard you correct, you're saying implicitly, once we can go back, in other words, once the COVID limitations are pulled back, then implicitly we must have in-person meetings for steering and for full council, given sunshine. Is that correct?
Correct.
So that, you know, there's no point in us having those discussions because that will be predetermined for us. And I assume that what the city decides will also determine when we have our March meeting, because if March 7th, if it's tied to what Bill just said to us, then after March 7th, which is when we would have our next full council, I believe, then it would implicitly be in person. And I think we can, you know, start now if we think that might be the case, to be planning for that, even though the planning would be steering in Zoom for a meeting in March or something. Is that correct, Mark?
I would actually move that to April, because if there's an announcement in March that happens, we wouldn't expect council members to be able to suddenly pivot with less than 2 weeks notice. So we would start that up in April for steering and full council for sure. And then, of course, as you all have been talking about, the question remains for the subcommittees.
Okay, Bill. I would just suggest then that happens, that we do it in steering talk, start talking in March and not wait till April.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, let's go with Bill.
And this is just a clarification. So the information I'm giving you has to do with employees working whether remotely versus in person. And there's a whole bunch of other guidance about people meeting in person. So I just wanna be clear here that is separate, although I think probably largely overlapping with boards and committees. So, you know, so I think you could be certain, one could be certain that folks aren't meeting in person while employees aren't coming in. So I do think March is a good time to revisit it. If kind of the will of the group is to move forward towards in-person sooner, then, you know, I think March is a good time to look at that. But just to be clear, what I'm giving you is what DIHR is talking about for full-time employees. And they tend to be on the whole, a tiny bit more conservative with the convened bodies from what I've seen, meaning keeping them more remote till we're certain.
Go ahead, David.
I think this may be a little too early, but what is, I think last time I asked, what is the availability for space? What spaces do you think we'll be looking at? I'm assuming that if we do meet in person, it'll still be somewhat socially distant.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Bill, did you have another statement, or is your hand just up?
No, I just put it back up in regard to the question that just got raised.
Okay.
I think what we would, as a group, I think probably my sense is we would need to follow what the guidance was from the health officer about meetings, about masking, or whether people had that choice or if that's what's required. I think given the fact that we do know there's some concern for people that are significantly immunocompromised in terms of the effectiveness of the vaccine and also just the impact that COVID could have. I think the biggest thing about a room, in addition to distance, is your ventilation system and whether you can get open air. So I think we might want to pay some attention to which rooms we go back into.
So Bill, out of the rooms we've been using, what are the hopes of using them?
So we're talking 25 VNS on the yes. on the 8th floor and on the 6th floor.
Yes.
I can ask again that the ventilation system in that building is by section, so it's a little complex. But I'm happy to ask OSH and hear back from them what they say. There isn't open windows in those spaces, which of course right. is the preferred. But I'm happy, in the next month to ask OSH what assessment. That's occupational safety and health they've done of those two spaces. And if there's, ideally it would be a place where we actually could have open windows. So it may also make sense to look at other spaces. That fresh air is the best in terms of COVID, preventing it.
Well, that's quite a bit of space we're going to need for if everybody showed up. So does anyone have any other questions or statements?
And I will throw out there that if it turns out the 25 VNS is not optimal and people push back on not being able to do that, I'm not sure where we'd go at that point. There would be costs associated to that have not been built into the contract. So that'd be another discussion, perhaps an offline discussion with DPH, but certainly something that's relevant to you all. It would have to be paid for.
This is not.
Go ahead. But I was going to say, for this committee in particular, when would people feel comfortable getting back together in person? Or no one has an opinion. Yeah.
I think I've already said as soon as we can, as soon as everything meets the guidelines of the city, the space, and all those things. Again, it's if we are, I think we have to be upfront. If people are moving and saying, I don't want to ever go back, I want to do it only Zoom, then they need to say so. And as such, if that's going to be the ruling, then those of us who aren't comfortable with that need to figure out where other meeting, other committees they may move to.
And if I can add on to that as well, there was, I just want to really underline what Ken said. The conversation at steering certainly included voices who felt there were lessons learned, I suppose, from the pandemic and how the many meetings of the council don't all have to be in person. And there were strong voices in favor of that. And so it would be great if people who did share that perspective that this committee could continue to meet virtually, shared their voice.
All right, Jesse.
Well, so I'm just mentioning this as the reason for my silence. Mark knows about this already, but so I have moved away from the Bay Area. I'm still working for a San Francisco based employer, but I'm no longer living in the Bay Area and won't be attending in-person meetings. So, I mean, with this frequency, so I had discussed with Mark a long time ago, like when we made the move to return to in-person, like I would need to be stepping down from the council and I will like work to help recruit a replacement. But, that's just to like, let you know, that's why I'm not giving an opinion because it doesn't count anymore. So.
I hadn't thought of that. People going, you know, living other places and just coming back in because the jobs are that way now. Nay? Nah, yes, I'll get this right. I'm really sorry.
No. So I actually also commute to Marin. So I live in Sacramento. I'm okay with, you know, coming in person for council meetings because that's what I've committed to. But if there's a chance for subcommittees to be virtually, that's just my preference. And I was thinking if there are folks that prefer in-person and folks that prefer virtual, maybe an option could be every other month, our committee meetings are in-person and virtual, once it is safe enough to be in-person. And in terms of when I would feel safe, since I have a newborn, I think I would feel safest when vaccinations are approved for babies, which they say might be in March and April. So maybe after May, it would be safe. That's just my preference for my personal situation. Thank you.
Okay, no, that was a good thing. Thank you. Bill.
So just in the spirit of answering all these questions, you know, we would just follow whatever our HR guidance was. And if really other than that, it would really be the will of the council, whatever the group decides. I might have one or two staff that like attend meetings but do not vote that might have a slightly different feeling. But if that were the case, you know, we would sub in another member of our staff who is comfortable for in-person meetings.
Did you have something else to say, Bill, or is your hand just up?
Looks like Jack's hand is raised.
Oh, there it is. Okay, yeah, Jack. Jackson.
Hi. Well, I have also had this conversation with Mark, but I'm going to take an opportunity to say that I'm actually also going to be stepping away from the council. So this is going to be my last council affairs meeting, and the next all council meeting will be my last full council meeting. I'm leaving my role at Huckleberry and taking some time to figure out what the fuck I want to do with my life that is not social service or public health probably. So, you know, there may be a future someday where I come back again, but for right now, I'm going to take a little bit of a break, and that's why I'm not weighing in on the in-person versus virtual meetings. And that's all.
Well, it's going to be sad to see you go.
I'm going to be sad to leave.
And I don't see all your plants behind you.
Oh, I'm at my office.
Okay. So this is Matt? Getting interesting now. Oh, yeah, there we go. Matt.
So, yeah, I hadn't chimed in, so I thought I should comment. Again, I've been into work every single day. I come home early when I have these meetings so I don't get stuck down the peninsula later. So I've been going into the office every day since 2020, which has been pretty horrendous. So I'm fine starting up whenever San Francisco Public Health and because even though I work for San Mateo, I live in San Francisco and the meetings are here in San Francisco. So I would be following the guidance set forth by the health officer here. and coming to any in-person meetings. And I think it's good that Jesse, you didn't have a baby just now. I mean, that's a good point, I think, that we've had to deal with a lot of staff also with either newborns or toddlers that were not eligible for vaccines yet. I'm assuming that the health officer will take that into consideration when they're making these decisions. And I don't know who has the ultimate authority over the sunshine ordinance. So I don't know if that's, I don't know if that's the mayor or if it's the board of supervisors or the health officer. I don't know how that, whose authority is able to override that right now. But I'm willing to meet in person.
Well, I know the sunshine ordinance was overridden at the state level, and the governor put out the guidance on didn't he?
Sunshine is only San Francisco.
It's is it? Okay.
I think you're thinking of Brownraker.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I was reading yesterday. So Thomas, do you have any feelings about going back to in-person meetings?
I do.
You're just not going to stay in
here. Probably just keep them a mystery then.
What's the temperature in the room before I wander into those waters?
Well, the temperature in the room is as that the public health officer has said, March 16th before the regulations in place now are going to have any change. So we said the push off until April, the April meeting for us on deciding in person or not.
Excellent. I've always kind of been under the guise that we should have full council in person and committee meetings in Zoom. So I know from a public health standpoint, that's not the best because you're bringing more people together. But I think from a practicality of getting to and from meetings, even though it's two floors, it's easier to do committee meetings by Zoom. So that, I don't know if you guys differentiated between committee meetings and full meetings.
Yes, we did. And also steering.
Okay. So those are my votes, full council, and then steering a committee, I would say remote, but just from a convenience standpoint, not from a COVID perspective. I was always frustrated prior to COVID, like we're at Silicon Valley and we cannot meet by like, especially, you know, Matt, those of you who are traveling from other counties and our SAC folks that, yeah.
So the general consensus is, I think at some point, and I think steering at the end of March should be a good place to start this conversation though, because that's the first one that'll be after the public health. We'll probably have a statement sometime mid-March about either keeping it in place or moving it further off. So, and then we'll come back and meet in April and decide what we want to do with this committee. How does that set? Go ahead, Thomas.
Well, it's just a thumbs up. I feel like
that's a thumbs up. I need better glasses.
Okay, so seeing as there's no pushback on Chuck's idea, that's on the April agenda to determine. But you know what? Let's just maybe let it ride and like have it in March too, so that like the conversation here can perhaps be brought to steering when they begin discussing. That right. Sound good with a vote actually noted on the agenda, because we couldn't have voted on this today anyway. For April, sound good?
Yes. Sound good for you, Dave?
David? Ken has his hand up.
Oh, there it is, up in the little corner. Go ahead, Ken.
Yeah, I just, the caveat I would like is, can this committee, Mark, can you keep us informed of what other committees, because like I said, if our position is we'd rather move to another committee that is meeting.
Absolutely.
Unless all of them decide not to, and then we just have to make our decisions whether we remain or not.
I think that would be really important information, particularly for those folks in the council. Yes. Who have strong feelings about this. And I know that there are feelings in both directions. Certainly there's more than just Ken who feels that they would really like all meetings to be in person. And there's more than just Thomas who wants to have lessons learned and do different things. And I think it's important for people to have that kind of freedom of choice, particularly if it helps them not leave the council.
So if that's it, then... What was the next agenda item?
Work plans. I'll share a screen.
Okay.
And I'll show you what we have as well as how this impacts our February council meeting. So there has been, I did have a couple speakers secured in overdose prevention. Let's see. Okay, can people see me and hear me? I just got a notice from Zoom. Okay, great. And can people see the screen, the shared screen?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, but that's fallen through. February is if you follow the news or social media, it's very clear that February is a big month for a lot of public thought and a lot of city and DPH work on these efforts. And so no one can do this. They've asked that it be pushed to April. And so we're going to do that. I'll do that right now. Stephen Spano is okay with, what happened? With having his HCAP report a month earlier. Yay, thank you. For the housing update, I'm not sure how I was supposed to go for that. So that can be moved around anyway, because I'm not sure specifically what this group wanted, because I've forgotten. I'm sorry. In March, we would still like to have a needs assessment vote. Of course, that means community engagement. We'll have to make a determination on the needs assessment target. I can reach out, of course, to folks for the STD update. You know, I reached out to Lazara, who is holding some of the work, most of the work, I think, that Hannah Heward was holding before going on maternity leave, to see if she would be interested in coming either this month, or if she's not able to do the ETE in March. I haven't heard back from her. And so what we have here for February, unfortunately, is no agenda items other than committee check-ins. I'm not inclined to try to force this and have a longer meeting just to have a longer meeting. I think that if there are ideas to put here that could happen, we can certainly flesh it out, but you know, we do have our updates from a range of folks, HHS, ETE, CHIP, CARE, et cetera. And we have actually a renewal member for a member, and certainly Jack can make his announcement. So it might be a short meeting. Well, it probably will be a short meeting this month. And I think that's fine. But if other folks had ideas for something relevant to be put on this month's agenda, certainly feel free. We'll bring it back up at steering, of course. But so this is how this is looking. Before we go to you, Bill, I just want to just make it clear that there does need to be some movement around housing update. So I'm going to just take that off for now and put it somewhere else, because the idea was to have an entire meeting devoted to this very important topic of drug user health and overdose prevention. I also will need to, I will need to move something out of March because we can't have four. It's often not too great to have three. I'm inclined to I guess we could have these three because the vote is not really a big discussion. So we can leave it at I guess now, let me just revise. We can leave it at this and we'll see if the huge amount of work that people are dealing with right now on the DPH side would impact the ability for us to even have an STD report in March. I'll check in with with folks and see. My hopes are not high. Bill?
Yes, I'm just Mark, just for folks to know, what while Hannah is on maternity leave, the work is being divided among three CHEP staff, but Lazara is just putting together a larger presentation for EHE, and she's getting input from folks in DPH, both on CHEP and on HIV health services. But if you guys need stuff that's actually not mostly being held by her, she's mostly, she's with the Facenti, which is kind of implementing the plan. So just for the clarity piece on that.
So then would you suggest that it not, because I don't think Hannah will be back in March. Would you suggest then that it not be Facenti / Lazara?
No, Lazara is great to present it because she is consulting actually mostly with Thomas and with me for this larger presentation she's doing, but just in terms of if you need stuff related to EHE, probably best to check in first with Thomas and me about what the council needs. You could reach out to Lazara, but she'll probably defer it back to us.
Okay. Well, I did actually reach out to Lazara. I haven't heard back. The idea here basically was that Hannah York was coming to us quarterly to either provide updates, to brainstorm, or to actually bring ETE grantees to portray their process and their outcomes. And she wanted this to continue, perhaps not quarterly. And so the Council of Affairs also saw that and had that here. What is this presentation, this larger presentation, Bill, that you're referring to?
So what I was thinking of, I think I mentioned this to you last week, was that she is putting together a presentation actually for the EHE steering committee. And a lot of it could potentially overlap to what the council might be interested in. And so I think you were saying, we haven't heard from EHE and we are really hurting for February at that point. So I think that was the thought that, you know, that presentation could be tweaked.
So you think it could occur on the 28th of this month?
I cannot speak for Lazara, but I think it's a possibility, yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll play it by ear. Looks like there's three hands up. Two.
Jackson's got one next.
Mark, I'm assuming you already asked this of Stephen, but is there any chance Stephen can do his HCAP report in February instead of March? I think if we no can't chance. Do that, then I think we should just leave it blank.
Yeah, no chance of that.
Okay.
Yeah, he's not sure he'll have his draft ready for this meeting to review. So I might just be bringing last year's report. Their contract ends in February, which is a lot of work for him in doing that end of contract year type stuff.
Thanks.
So yeah, that has to be in March. Sorry.
Ken? Who was the other hand?
It's like Ken and Thomas.
So I'm just wondering, as we look at the full calendar, if there's a possibility to have getting to zero and ending the epidemic done at the same time. I think we often get confused on who's on first, and having the ability to see distinctly what each of those groups of people are doing and how they overlap and how they intertwine and how they don't would be most helpful. That's just throwing out.
Thank you. I like the idea. The challenge there is that getting to zero did actually just appear at our last full council meeting in 2021. So I could ask, but I don't know if they'd want to appear like a mere 2 months later, 3 months later.
Do people follow the reasoning there?
Yeah. Reasoning's sound.
Thomas.
So am I going to be facilitating? Will Irma be in for starters? I see Irma's name is sharing. Will she be back by then?
I think you should be on deck.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too. So the other thing that I wanted to, a little while ago, I did a presentation for I can't remember who it was for, to tell you the truth, but it was a presentation on how we utilized HIV test counselors to do our CICT efforts. So kind of pivoting our HIV workforce that could not be active during COVID to a remote setting and doing case investigation and contact tracing. So I'd be happy to dust that off and kind of tell that story in February, if that would be helpful. I think it's kind of it's a nice kind of correlation with regards to how we used our lessons learned from HIV towards COVID in a time. And then, yeah, so I'll stop.
What is the name? That sounds super relevant. What is the name of that presentation?
Initially, I just want to say, like, pivoting HIV workforce for COVID, for case investigation and contact tracing, COVID work. So, and then we've actually had some significant lessons learned with working with hundreds of community partners that we actually want to do with a future vision of how to improve the healthcare system as a whole. So speak on that as well.
Did Bill, did you have anything else to say?
I did not. Is my hand still up?
Yes.
I'll lower it.
Sorry about that. It's lower now. Sorry about that.
But Jack has another hand up.
Oh, I thought he might be the same. Jackson, go ahead.
No, it was the same. Sorry, my bad.
Okay. Yeah, I get lost with the hands.
Same.
Okay, we are filling in February.
Yeah, so we have one presentation. That's good. Still might be a shorter meeting. Again, not a problem. So we have all of our pro forma, which includes, you know, a range of committee updates. We'll have a couple of membership updates. Jack, if you don't mind speaking to the council, you're quite a tenured council member. So I think that it's really important that you do speak to the council as someone who was on the prevention council for so long. It was with us, the merge, of course. And then we have a renewal. So that will be maybe an hour. And if ND Epidemics if Lazar is able to provide something, then that will be in the second half. If not, let's hope that can happen in March.
Yes,
definitely. Bill, what is your sense of, I almost hate to ask this, of Susan and Darpin's availability in March to do a STD update?
Susan Phillips, you know, she's now the public health officer. So I would say zero to negative 1,000. I know less about what's going on now for Darpin. But I think there are other people within STD that could present.
Yeah. I can just reach out to both of them and see who they suggest.
If you need other folks, like Stephanie Cohen is an excellent presenter. There's other folks you could reach out to. I think they're less tapped out. I'm going to just take
Susan off the suggestion. I'm going to just take it entirely off. There's no way. Is that Cohen with a H in the middle or no H?
There is an H in the middle there.
Thank you. All right. So if there's no other thoughts on this, the main thing, of course, that comes out of this is we need to figure out when we'd be putting in a housing presentation or update of some sort. But we can figure that out down the road, because it does look like March and April are quite stacked. And who knows? I mean, maybe that can, it's always good to have that sort of in the back pocket, because that's always of interest, ongoing interest. And housing often approaches us to provide updates as well. I mean, the different areas of housing. Yes, Ken.
So Mark, can you tell us at the bottom where it's got STD PrEP and drug user health, are those possibilities for the future? Like
PrEP? Yeah, I should update that. It's not these folks, actually. It's Paul Harkin, Dr. Hillary Coons, Ro Giuliani, Laura Thomas. And let's put Thomas Nolan for fun. I think Thomas said try to punt this, but there we go. So this could be multiple presentations. It could be a panel. It could be both. I kind of like the idea of different short updates, and then maybe even a panel from those folks as well. Yeah, so we'll see.
How about the prep and Brad here? What's that about?
Oh, that's a good question for the committee. They're the ones who suggested that as far as an update around that.
These are suggestions. That's what I was asking.
Oh, yeah, these are all suggestions. These aren't my personal notes. Okay. When this came out, when we worked on this, folks gave me people to contact because I asked them to.
And which then leads to the question, is that something people are interested in? If we need something in February, to contact Brad Hare at Kaiser for prep.
I think it's unfair to unless there's presentations already ready to go. I mean, that's less than 2 weeks away. Yeah, I get pushback. I get hard pushback when I try to get presentations in from folks I haven't talked to like a month beforehand.
So then I would recommend that at least contact Dr. Hare to see if he is able to give that period before we even consider it. Because once we know if he may, for all we know, have something already put together.
Sure. Yeah. He's not scheduled. That topic area isn't scheduled until October. But happy to put that out earlier for sure. As you know, as you just said, there might be a chance of him being able to deliver something that's already put together. Bill?
Dr. Hare is working heavily with getting to zero on Kavitiga group to look at HIV and aging. And in terms of, the population we serve, so that's another possibility. There's an interest in hearing what they're doing. I think you probably know that there is DPH in-house expertise, and he also comes with the twofer looking at health equity issues, and that's Dr. Hyman Scott. Have you considered him as well?
He was on the list for drug user health and overdose prevention. Strange to me, let's just say that.
I'm sure he's good at that too, but that's not his area of expertise.
Yeah,
he's
exactly. Guy. And that's why I actually pulled off Dr. Hyman Scott and Bahi to be part of the conversation around drug user health and overdose prevention. I mean, I'm sure they could weigh in, but that's not their, Bahi, they're not solely looking at that. And that's not what Dr. Scott is really well known for, right? He's known for racial disparities around STD and related topic areas.
And PrEP as well. That PrEP is really his big thing. And then Mark, you also want to add
I'll put him on the PrEP side as a good suggestion.
And he also does PEP as well. And I think on the drug user panel, it sounds like, Dr. Judith Martin was also
that's right. Kind of the person. Thank you very much.
Did you want to add her?
Yeah, Hillary subbed out Judith Martin for herself. Thank you so much. We're on that same thread. I should remember that.
David.
Oh, I was going to say, I was talking to Dr. Hare this morning, and I know that there's something that getting to zero, he contributed to getting to zero yesterday at their meeting. But just a heads up, because he's also the head of COVID, because we're infectious disease department. And so there may be some time constraints because they're spearheading that still. And then also all the Cabenuva injectable stuff, because he started that. So that's another thing that's going on. But I think there may be something that was done for getting to zero. Not too clear about that.
Speaking to Ken's suggestion, I'm wondering if we want to consider trading out trans communities update in November for HIV and aging, since we did have a very well-regarded update that was the entire meeting last year. It seems in some ways, and we didn't have that for HIV and aging. It seems like trans communities update doesn't have to be every year, so I'm going to just put that there for the group to consider.
I like that idea. specifically since the committee that I'm sitting on for the state is HIV and Aging Committee, and we would have some deliverables by that time as well.
Great.
Some infographics and some presentations they're working on.
Looks like Bill and David had their hands up.
Yeah, if you are guys are looking for additional suggestions, particularly for the fall, you know, long-acting injectables are starting to roll out in the city, and you know, good. I mean, I think they're still figuring out what's the best group to use them for, but I think there has been hope that for people who are experiencing unstable housing and stuff, they could potentially be a game changer. So if that's of interest to the group, probably the expert within DPH on that right now is Dr. Schabowski, who presented to you guys a while back.
Is that John? Dr. John Sue
Schabowski, S-C-H.
Okay, hold on a second. That is not a familiar name to me. Okay, can you spell that again?
Sure. John, and let me look up the spelling and make sure I'm giving it.
It's not the S-Z-U.
I think you're right. I think it is the S-C-U-M.
How do you pronounce it? I thought that was Szymanski. Pronounce it again for me.
I understand it as Schumowski, and it's S-Z-U-M-O-W-S-K-I. But you can ask him to pronounce it, and he'll say it so softly, you'll barely be able to hear it.
He gave a very good presentation last year, right when there's a lot of need to have more information around COVID and HIV.
Yeah. So he works with Monica Gandhi. He's kind of the number two at Ward 86.
Oh, okay. Great.
I'd suggest putting it off 4, 5, 6 months because I think there'll be a lot more to share about what's actually working.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not even in the mix at this point. All right. Any more thoughts on this before we... call it.
I have my hand up really quick. This is actually a question for Bill, and for you all. Who else is doing the long-term injectables? Because I was under the impression after having a conversation today with some folks that some folks don't even have the workflow down for that yet. So I'm wondering what other entities are doing the long-term injectables in the city besides who did you suggest, Schumowski, Dr. Schumowski?
You want an answer to that, David, now? Or should we go into speaking
order? Just any other injectables, like long-term injectables? I don't even know who is doing it for PrEP, to be honest with you. I've met like three people so far, but not here at Kaiser. But in terms of just, like long-term injectables, because I think my question is mostly geared towards when is the best time to sort of like see the initial sort of like data and just some lessons learned from implementing that strategy, that treatment?
So in terms of DPH, it's the only place where that's happening. And I believe it is happening both, I believe it's entering clinical trials, although John's best to say that, for prevention and then for treatment, it's begun to roll out, but it's, you know, it's the same old tired line with COVID, everything game changed, but it is starting to roll out. And I think the question is, does it work better for folks that have more stable housing and more stable lives, or is this really where we should first focus the energy on people who's, you know, just getting in for a shot once every 1 month versus or every 2 months, hopefully would be a game changer. So I think they're trying to figure that out there, both, you know, ethically in terms of health equity versus what's going to give good information about how well this works. And then, you know, the last I heard, just some thought, once a month is a lot to come in, and people were really hopeful about once every 2 months, but the formulation is hard enough on someone that it was just people were feeling sore when they went up to it, which is, I think this is really the thing Dr. Schumowski is probably best able to give that. But other than Ward 86, I'm not aware of other places. It doesn't mean there aren't, but at least within DPH, that's all that's happening.
DPH. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any other suggestions or questions? Go ahead, Ken. We only got a couple minutes left.
So I have a contact who is a Native American woman who's been kind of the marketing and presentation person for Adobe, which does a lot of contracts in all the counties for housing. And I know that San Francisco has one, and I'm pretty sure Marin has one. If that's of interest, I can help try to facilitate that. But I'm not sure, and this is where I would look to Matt or to Bill to tell us, or somebody who can tell us whether Adobe has significant enough presence in our housing contractors.
Jesse.
Hi, this is super poor form. I'm going back real quick, just, and this is just a suggestion for steering. When you guys talk about going back to in-person meetings, I realize also, like, are we going to go back to the full length 3-hour meeting? So that was just.
Yeah, everything's up in the air at the moment.
Yeah, I just couldn't remember if we discussed that. Okay.
Okay, was there anything else, Mark, on the agenda? Okay, then I'll see you a lot.
Well, before we do, yeah. Ken did have a question directly to Bill about whether or not
Adobe. Matt.
Ken, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry. I'm not clear. Is this someone from a pharmaceutical that wants to present?
No.
Who is this person? Someone
who works for Adobe, and Adobe is evidently a big housing contractor for all the counties. And I'm just asking Matt and Bill, you know, my understanding is that we have contracts with Adobe and they do a lot of our housing. Is that not true or is that true?
I have never heard of anything in San Mateo about this at all.
Okay.
And I'm not aware of Adobe Housing as a big player in the housing market for subsidized housing. I haven't heard. That doesn't mean they don't exist at some level, but I haven't heard about them either. But I'm happy to check it out and get back with you.
It's out of Fremont.
Do they have housing here in San Francisco?
My understanding is that they are contracting to operate or build or something, and they have had. They 9 counties is what my understanding is.
If you send me a little, I can go with Adobe, but if you have more, email me and I'll check it out.
Okay. And Matt, I'll let you know if I find out there in San Mateo too.
Ken, are you talking about a boat housing?
Talking about housing. Homeless housing.
Is it abode housing?
Maybe it's abode. Adobe? Maybe it's abode. Did you hear? Is that it's abode rather than Adobe? Abode, sorry.
Adobe is a software company. That's why I was getting confused. I was like, oh.
So, Thomas, do we have something?
There, that's that abode is Mercy Housing is pretty, you know, Catholic Charities are my go-to housing subsidy folks. So I don't know of abode at all. It's news to me. So sounds like Bill's going to do a little digging and see whether or not he can find a contract in place. And if so, maybe we can evoke your contact to give us some information about housing and people living with HIV in the city.
And I just Googled it for San Mateo. It looks like they're involved with the San Mateo, the Housing Authority, which I have nothing to do with.
All right, let's just take it off the table.
Okay, so you have anything else, David? Nope, all right, then the next meeting will be the second Tuesday of March already, dang. All right, and it's really sad to see here you go, Jackson.
Farewell, Jackson. For now.
All right, I'll call this meeting.
I've been through this before with Jack. Oh, hello there. Are you the newborn?
Yeah.
All right, let's call the meeting and then we'll take it from there.
Thomas, can you stay on for a moment, please?
I can.
All right, bye, everybody.
Yeah. Bye.
Good seeing you.
All right, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
See you, Jay.